This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold Golden and Gregory.
Welcome to Energy Matters, a show about how you can save money on your utility bills, use technology wisely, and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Here's your host, veteran energy regulator and clean energy expert, Commissioner Tim Echols.
And thank you, Scott Slade. It is a great day to be saving energy, saving money, using technology, and living a more sustainable life.
Saving the planet.
I'm Tim Echols, your host of Energy Matters. My co-host, John Noel, former state representative. I serve on the Georgia Public Service Commission. John, it's been a busy year for the Public Service Commission as we've talked about the future. 3 years in the future, 20 years in the future, and I think one of the things that folks are going to be really happy about is more solar.
Yeah.
A lot more solar, utility-scale batteries. It's going to be great because this technology, particularly the solar, is actually going to fractionally lower rates for everybody. So it's a great story, and we're going to continue. And I think Georgia will move back into the top 10 in the nation with solar. We'll talk more about that later. In the studio with us today, Eugene Kuhn. He's a Clemson guy, and proud of it. Eugene, I'm a Bulldog, and we're not too keen on those Clemson Tigers, but you guys are good. You've got it going up there.
We appreciate it.
What's the secret? What's the secret to your success?
Well, being that you're Georgia, I can't tell you.
Ah, thanks.
Oh well. He comes out punching.
Man,
early.
He does. Eugene works for Polaris, and Polaris is one of our sponsors. You hear the Jim Carr ads on our show and on our podcast, and Eugene, there's a good chance a lot of folks have never ridden in a Jim Carr, maybe even never seen a Jim Carr. They certainly have seen golf carts. We're talking about a low-speed electric vehicle. Tell us what a Jim Carr is.
Okay, so Tim, a low-speed electric vehicle is a 35-mile-an-hour or less operating on any road or street that operates under that same speed limit. So as long as you're 19-mile-an-hour minimum, if you're operating on a street that's 35-mile-an-hour or less, you can operate an actual Jim Carr. So we're made to be on highways and streets to make it easy for campuses and or city areas to function without having to be on sidewalks or any other roadways.
Yeah, so if you go to the Georgia Tech campus, you see a lot of Jim Cars down there, mm-hmm. one of your big Georgia
customers. So they're attractive
customers.
Golf carts, essentially.
Well, they're really more than a golf cart because they've got seat belts,
mm-hmm.
right?
So we've got
they have seat belts. Well,
yeah.
Okay. So they're street legal.
Street
golf
legal.
Carts
there you
aren't street legal.
There you go.
I mean, you're breaking the law if you get a golf cart out on a street.
All of our seats face forward, unlike a golf cart. You've got 3-point seat belts. Golf carts has lap seat belts. So those are some of the things that are safety requirements from NHTSA that you have to pass in order to be an LSV vehicle.
So that's more like a car without windows.
Most definitely.
But
we have windows also.
Yeah, you can get doors and windows on it. They even have a really cool one that has a solar panel that's a roof over the back little pickup truck
why don't
bed.
Why electric cars do this?
Yeah,
it's been killing me.
So it's really cool. And you see a lot of these on campuses. Eugene, why are campuses so into these Jim Carrs?
Well, traditionally, they weren't. Golf carts are easy vehicles to get around. You can drive them on sidewalks and roadways, but there's been a lot of incidents on campuses and our cities where golf carts aren't street legal and mandating issues from insurance or liability reasons. So with an LSV, it takes away the avenue of having to drive on a sidewalk.
Low-speed vehicle.
Okay. Right. So now you can drive on an actual roadway. You don't have kids walking down the sidewalk, looking at headphones, not paying attention. A lot more safe.
You know, you think about a place like Jekyll Island, John, St.
Yeah.
Simons Island.
Oh, yeah.
These are resort islands in Georgia. I don't think the speed limit anywhere on Jekyll is over 35 miles an hour. I think the whole island is under 35. And you see, an environment like that is absolutely perfect for a Jim Carr because either the hotels can rent them or residents can own them. And when folks go to the beach, you know, they like being able to have their hair blowing and kind of be out there enjoying the environment. And you know, Eugene, I'm seeing more and more Jim Carrs in downtown Atlanta because as you get into like Midtown and downtown, all those streets are 35 or below.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really take that Jim Carr. I'm seeing them used for tours.
Mm-hmm.
I know I rented five Jim Carrs and we did a smart corridor tour, John, from 75 Fifth Street, which is the Synergy kind of the tech square area.
Yeah.
And we went past the Candida building, over to the Net Zero building on the Tech campus, to the Coke headquarters, and PJ came out and gave a little gave a little talk to my Jim Carr folks, and then on down past the Bank of America building, on to Pont City Market, all of those streets, 35 miles an hour.
Wow.
And then back over to 75 Fifth Street. So we used a legal low-speed electric vehicle with a tag, with seatbelts, everybody buckled up, safe and secure, and it was a really cool thing. So
that is cool.
And most folks really don't know the difference between a golf cart and a gym cart.
I displayed my ignorance just a moment ago. Yeah. I mean, it's great.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're on a golf course, right, and you're going from one hole to the other, you're obviously just on a cart path, and there's no need to go 35 miles an hour. I mean, you're playing golf. But if you're going to get out on the highway and you're going to be safe, then the vehicle needs to be made for it.
Most definitely.
And gym carts are. So, Eugene, let's talk about kind of the cost savings involved with an electric gym car.
So you have to take into consideration you got gas, you've got maintenance, you've got service issue with any kind of vehicle, whether it's changing the oil, changing filters. With an actual gym electric car, all you have is batteries. So if you maintain batteries and your minor wear into items, you know, you're good to go. So for some examples of campuses, we got some Ohio schools where they save $6.6 million in actual savings and over
maintenance savings.
And over 16 million pounds of CO2 over a 7-year span. So you look at the savings in that, and most universities, they keep their vehicles over a 7-year span. So that's a ton of money saved and a lot of CO2 saved also.
You know, John, I don't know about you, but I am one of the things that I notice when it's happening is when vehicles are sitting idly. And so sometimes there'll be a delivery guy or something come to the neighborhood and they get out, they leave their vehicle running.
Yes.
Right. And they get out, and I've even seen workers who are getting out, say working on a cable box or something, they're leaving the vehicle running. And I'll say to them, I don't want to smart off or anything. I'll just say, sir, did you know your vehicle was running? And they'll go over and turn it off. But electric vehicles like the gym car, you think about parking enforcement in a town like Savannah. You think about mall security and a mall cop riding around a mall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a gym car seems like a perfect vehicle for something like that. Eugene, are you having any malls or any kind of cities to look at gym cars for this kind of low speed code enforcement of anything?
So those are the perfect use cases. We've got. All through Atlanta, we've got them in Charlotte. We've got some major cities that's doing shutter applications also. You got Westchester, PA, that's got a shutter system going on now. Anaheim, California's got a shutter system going. Miami. But for the other use cases, like you said, you've got E2, E4 that the city of Atlanta uses right now also for that same thing.
E2, E4, these are the levels of gym cars?
So E2 is a 2-passenger vehicle, and E4 is a 4-passenger. So we break them down, E2, E4, and E6.
So E6 is the limo.
E6 is your shuttle.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
it's your Hummer.
You know, you think that last mile or last half mile of transportation, I mean, that's a real issue in the city of Atlanta. Other cities like Washington that really has a very well-developed transit system, maybe not so much an issue, but like in Atlanta, and I've urged the city to consider something like this, John. Of course, I'm a Republican. I don't get a lot of love over there, you know, at City Hall. But the idea of, one, being hospitable, right, and providing a way for people to get around who come in for conventions or whatever, they take MARTA, and we got all of these scooters that are laying all over everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are getting hurt. You know, I think part of the reason they're getting hurt is because it's just not clear, where am I supposed to ride on this? And some of our streets have potholes or, you know, it's not a clean curb cut as you go off. And so people are going to the emergency room. And I just have to wonder if there's maybe a better way for us to do this stuff. We've really literally got thousands of those scooters around. Eugene, as you think about this kind of last mile transit piece, Are cities using this to help shuttle people, you know, to that, not, you know, not going 10 miles in the thing, but just kind of going 3/4 of a mile? Maybe one of your vehicles that runs from point A to point B, back to point A, back to point B. Where's that happening, and how's it helping?
Absolutely. So you've got Anaheim, California. You've got Houston, Texas. You've got Westchester, PA. You've got Miami. You've got Charlotte, North Carolina also. So these are some of the places where it's actually helping. It's less combustion. You've got people, like you said, it's that half mile. You've got hotels that are going from point A to point B. Saying, you know, you stay here at the Hampton. We just want to go downtown versus getting cars and renting scooters. You know, they've got their 4 or 5 stops, make a loop, and turn around and come back. So it's definitely helping in bigger cities right now. We've got ATL Cruises here in Atlanta that's doing an awesome job. So
how does the ATL Cruisers work?
ATL Cruises, where you can go book a tour. So you call them here up, whatever. They've got a spot right downtown. They'll book a tour. Once they get 8 people, they'll do whatever stops they do around the city, and they'll come right back. So it can be up to a 30-minute tour to an hour tour. They've got 7 shelters that run right now, and they go around the entire city. So that it just goes to show you that, you know, a big city like Atlanta, you can drive this vehicle all through the city for an hour and never touch a road where you're not supposed to be on. So.
Yeah, I think, John, I think it's worth us looking at it. I've written a letter to the Chamber, to the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and just saying, hey, how can we advance this forward? You know, because we want to have a city that's welcoming, that solves people's transit needs as they come and visit us or as they're working there. So let's keep the conversation going with you, Gene. We're going to bring in a new voice, Mary Britton, as we come back. And kind of add a little mix to this, because I think there's some cross-marketing that can happen between the solar community and the EV community. I'm Tim Eccles, and you're listening to Energy Matters.
The electric car revolution is coming, and the choices are growing. GEM cars are everywhere. You've seen these low-speed electric vehicles on college campuses, downtown Atlanta streets, and resort islands like St. Simons and Jekyll. GEM cars are street legal, equipped with seatbelts, headlights, and a tag, and can operate on roads with speed limits of 35 miles per hour or less. If you want to know more about these electric cars and trucks, 6 passenger shuttles, mobile repair service, or full vehicle wraps, go to GEMCarService.com. That's GEMCarService.com.
John, one of our sponsors for the show, Rowe Insulating Company, is doing a great job in and around Athens, being able to do a lot of what we talk about every single week on the show.
Every time it gets cold, every time it gets hot, it's always that attic that's the problem. And you could attack windows, and that's going to cost you a cold fortune. It is insulation that can solve the problem.
Hey, if you want to get this fixed, call 706-795-2854. That's 706-795-2854. Rowe Insulating Company.
Rope. Support for Energy Matters comes from Arnold, Golden, and Gregory. AGG takes a business sensibility approach when advising clients. AGG provides industry knowledge, attention to detail, transparency, and value to help businesses and individuals achieve their definition of success. AGG subscribes to the belief not if, but how. We appreciate their weekly support of Energy Matters.
My definition of success in a radio show is a room full of guests who are very smart, helping our listeners
edumacating
to be more sustainable,
yes,
to use technology, and to save money.
Did you mention saving money?
Saving money.
Ooh,
very
like
important.
That.
In the studio, Eugene Kuhn. He works with Polaris GEM Car. Maybe you've seen because they got this cool little blue logo, GEM. What does GEM stand for?
Global Electric Motor.
Global Electric Motor.
That's cool.
So you'll see these things around. They run on electricity, so batteries. And then Mary Britton, who is Director of Operations for Velo Solar. You've certainly heard Velo on our shows because they're one of our sponsors. Welcome, Mary.
Hey, guys. So happy to be here today. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
And you went to Elon University?
Elon University, yes.
Elon University.
In Burlington, North Carolina.
In Burlington, North Carolina. And what was your major and how was your experience there?
Elon's a great school. It's small. It's liberal based.
Liberal arts or liberal? Or both?
Liberal arts.
Yeah.
If you could watch hair go up on somebody's head, it just happened.
Yeah. Liberal arts, right?
Probably more Republicans than liberals.
Okay, yeah, so good, we're good, 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 yeah, 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 yeah.
He's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and what was your major there?
Corporate communications.
Corporate communications. Oh, so a lot of PR stuff. Yeah.
I mean,
so
sorry, that's great.
So you're made for radio here.
Exactly.
Right. You love it.
Yes.
You love it. And Eugene, Clemson Tiger. Yeah. We're trying not to hold that against you.
Everybody can't be champions.
Yeah. I tell you, he's so proud. You know, he's so proud. And these guys are, I mean, I have to admit, they're having a run up there in Clemson, South Carolina. And we just can't seem to
rein it in.
Yeah, to get them. So Eugene works for Polaris. You may have seen, you know, some of the other Polaris vehicles out there, other brands. A lot of hunters use Polaris vehicles, mm-hmm. don't they?
Yep, Sportsman and Ranger.
Yeah, Sportsman is mm-hmm. one of them, and then the Ranger is another one. Then the Gem Car is your electric vehicle made in Anaheim,
yep,
California. Is that Disney? Is that Disneyland in Anaheim?
Right there next to it. Is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so one of the few moments when you're actually going to be advocating for California today, Tim. Yes.
Oh, I love California. Oh, one of my favorite places.
Stick around. We need to stick around. Yeah. More often. This is a good moment.
Yeah.
A rich moment.
So we are glad having them sponsor our radio show. Mary Velo Solar, you guys have been busy because Georgia has deployed, and we'll be talking about this later, but Georgia's deployed a lot of utility scale solar, haven't we?
Yes, that's correct.
It's been a good thing for ratepayers, a good thing for farmers, good thing for air quality, good thing for workforce. It's just good all the way around, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've really gotten to partner with Georgia Power, all the green power EMCs throughout Georgia to all come together in partnership with these solar arrays. It's very exciting.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about the nexus between solar and these Gem Cars. Eugene, I was down at Clayton Porter's showroom in on the coast there in Brunswick, and I noticed one of his two-seater vehicles that had a little, it was like a little pickup bed. I mean, to my listeners, these are, you know, a little bigger than golf carts. So think of a pickup, a golf cart turned into a pickup, and over the top of it, you had a solar panel,
mm-hmm.
right? How is that going over? Are you having a lot of orders for that? And how does that technology work?
So it's actually starting to pick up. We can't dial into and give an actual number of actual what we save and how much battery life we actually are using. But what we're finding out is that it's definitely prolonging the battery life of vehicles. Appalachian State is a great example of them having vehicles that they haven't charged in 2 or 3 weeks with just having a solar panel. Like I said, we can't dial in the numbers and say, hey, we saved this much battery life. But what they're seeing is that battery life is lasting a lot longer with the solar panel.
And I'll help answer some of the technical answer for that. It is a trickle charge situation. And this is true of larger car batteries, too. And Teslas, when we drive down the road, we hit it with a high voltage, fast charge. That degrades the battery ever so small. But when you do a trickle charge on darn near any battery, it loves that kind of slow charge.
So, Eugene, that solar panel, that's a very large panel mm-hmm. over the top, almost like a little roof over the pickup bed, that actually charges the battery as it's sitting there, correct?
Well, it's helping it maintain battery life. Like I said, we can't actually say that it's charging the battery, but it's helping it maintain that battery life. So, for example, without one, if it's 4 hours, it might be down 50%, just for an example. With the solar panel, it might only drop 20%.
Yeah, so it's a cool thing, and we'll post that on my Twitter feed, at Tim Eccles. And, Eugene, the Twitter feed for Polaris is it Polaris _ Jim?
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah, Polaris _ Jim. John, you're at
New Energy Guy.
And Velo Solar.
I don't know if we have one. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think you all do have. We'll get that in the next segment. So we all love Twitter, and you guys do a lot on LinkedIn as well, don't you? What's your
Polaris Gem is our LinkedIn.
Yeah, and Gem is G-E-M. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, let's talk about this. Free fleet survey that you all do, because you may have some listeners going, well, I wonder if this might work for our company. We have this. Could we replace it? What kind of evaluation do you do as you survey these fleets?
Okay, so we've got a fleet survey where we install telematics on vehicles so we can determine how fast they're going, how far they're going, how much idle time they have in order to say, hey, this vehicle could be replaced with electric or not. For example, on a college campus, if you have a vehicle that's It's only going 4 miles a day. It's idling 4 hours a day, and the max speed is 15 miles an hour. Well, that could be a gym car. So why is that a F-150 that you paid $40,000 for? So in the swing of things, we go and determine use cases. Now, if it's a vehicle that's going off campus, it's going over 45 miles an hour, of course, we can't touch that one. But there are vehicles on campus where we see a fit for an actual gym versus having a combustion vehicle.
Yeah, that's cool. And folks can just email you, Eugene.Koon, K-O-O-N, at Polaris.com.
That's correct.
And you'd be happy to set that up with them. Mary, you know, let me ask you about this, because you are Director of Operations for Velo, and I know you guys do a lot of utility-scale stuff, but you're very active in the overall solar community here in Georgia and really beyond.
Absolutely.
And we've talked about the nexus between EVs, solar, sustainability. You know, as you talk with solar folks, does it bleed over into other areas of their life? I mean, do they care about the transportation they have? Are they thinking about electric vehicles? Do you feel like solar people are more apt to buying an electric car or consider that?
Absolutely. I think, you know, for Eugene's business, you get that type of customer that's so interested in renewables and living that green lifestyle that they do start thinking about other aspects of their life and what they can do. Just like he was talking about trying to figure out if you have the right vehicle that fits that profile, we have a similar tool, which I think is so important at Velo. It's called Power Info. And so if there's a commercial business owner that's interested in it but not sure if his building is really needing solar, we can deploy an e-gauge meter to go in and monitor his building for several months and determine what his energy consumption is and load profile to better suit their needs and determine the right fit.
Yeah, I think trying things out like this, I mean, it's the concept of a demo, right, Eugene?
Yep.
Being able to test something before you spend the money on it. Are you finding colleges or companies say, hey, let us try this out to see if this works? I mean, is that an option?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
We do demos all the time.
Yeah,
most definitely.
So they bring it out. They let that mechanic or that service person on campus use it for a day, get their feedback and to determine whether or not it really works for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, John, back when I was in car sales a long time ago when I was a young man, one of the things that I taught my sales force was about the three different types of buyers, right? The technical buyer, the user buyer, and the economic buyer. And the economic buyer is the lady or the guy who writes the check. The technical buyer is the one looking at the specs to make sure this will haul what it says or go as fast as it is supposed to go or meet with the compliance. The user buyer is the guy that Eugene has let use the vehicle. It's the guy that's going out there and doing the parking, you know, enforcement, or going out there and cleaning the windows, you know, of the different campus buildings. That's the user buyer. And, mm-hmm. you know, not that you tune into Energy Matters to get a lesson in sales technology, but, hey, we teach a lot here. But clearly, when you're selling something, you got to have a yes from all three of those people. You know, not only the person that's writing the check, but you got to have a yes from the person signing off on the technical specifications. Because, well, I mean, if you're going to drive something on a road and it's a golf cart and it doesn't have a tag and seat belts, well, you're breaking the law. And you're going to get a ticket. And that vehicle is probably going to be then, you know, disposed of or used somewhere else on a campus. And then, of course, I mean, it has to work for the user. I mean, we've heard before, even from our folks that sell green lawn equipment, that the person using it has to like it. They have to say, this works for me. Because
and the CFO writing the check has got to know he's going to save money and that there's less maintenance for people down the road.
That's right. Well, you've been listening to Energy Matters. We're going to continue this conversation about electric vehicles and about solar when we come back. It's such an important, I guess, disruptive technology, John. So we think about how things continue to change, and there have been disruptive technologies, you know, throughout history, and I think the gym car is going to be one of those. And certainly, Mary, we're seeing that solar is a disruptive technology in our state as we continue to add more and more, and it's only going to get bigger in a share, especially as we add batteries to that. Well, I'm Tim Eccles. You're listening to Energy Matters. Stick around, and we want to continue to help you to be able to save money, to use technology, and live a more sustainable life.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit, and the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Everyone has tough times in their life. By checking the Project Share box at the bottom of your utility bill, you can make life a little easier for your neighbors. Your $1, $2, or $5 checkoff is matched by the utility and then used by the Salvation Army to help folks having a tough time paying their energy bills. It's that easy. Join PSC Commissioner Tim Eccles and many others by donating via your power bills this year. See more by clicking ProjectShareInfo.com. And thank you.
This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by the Racy Anderson Highway.
Support for Energy Matters comes from The Ray, an 18-mile stretch of Interstate 85 running from LaGrange to the Alabama line. The Ray is an independent nonprofit that catalyzes the interstate corridor and its exits into a global model for regenerative transportation. Executive Director Allie Kelly, a guest here many times, believes that roads can be safe, sustainable, and regenerative. See more at theray.org to see about how they are making this part of the interstate into a living laboratory.
It's a cool area, John. And
love it.
We're talking about the nexus between solar and EVs, and you see it right there on the Ray. If you've come up I-85 from Alabama, and as you cross over the line, there's a rest area just on the right, mile marker number
big solar panel
one.
Out there.
Yeah. There's a solar tree out there that has the Kia logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a DC fast charger that's
yep.
sitting right below it. For your,
I've juiced up on it.
Electric vehicles. That's free, by the way.
Yeah, that's why I've juiced up on it.
Free. Now, you'd have to sit there quite a while with that Tesla.
I didn't say I sat there a long time. I was just saying.
Take a nap? Go back there and take a nap?
No, I didn't take a nap. I was checking out the solar pavement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I checked out, you know, walked over to see the tire pressure checker, and then I rolled the car over there.
Yeah, so there is a cool French product there that's inlaid into that cement. There as you drive by, and it's made by the company Whatway, Cola, C-O-L-A-S, so you can Google Cola's Whatway.
It's a solar road, basically.
It's a solar road, and then if you go behind that rest stop, there's a automated tire checker, and I've never seen anything like this. And
It's insanely cool.
Yeah, I was meeting with a company the other day that had a fleet of vehicles, and I was telling them about it, and you know, something they were going, hey, this is maybe something we should have. It was actually Lyft as they were, you know, as they pulled their vehicles out to rent them at the Lyft Express Drive down at the Cox Enterprise facility. This would be an easy way to check that tire pressure.
Easy.
And because you drive through this kind of at a slow speed, and then there's a little kiosk that spits out just a little slip of paper like an ATM machine would give you a receipt, and it tells you what each of your tires have in terms of pressure and the tread depth.
It's unbelievable. So basically what you're saying is it is remotely scanning for tire pressure and for tire depth without touching anything and without you stopping. It's unbelievable.
And I think, John, one of the things that we pay the least attention to is our tire pressure in cars. I mean, you think about normally getting out there, hopping in your car, taking off.
Right.
I do not routinely look at every tire around my car.
Yes.
You can have a wreck if you have low air pressure, especially on the front tires of your car. So,
that's true.
And it's very hard to tell the difference between, you know, a car that has 35 pounds of pressure in it and one that has 25.
I mean, and there's huge dollar savings, too, for people buying petrol or for those of us that have electric. If you have inadequate tire pressure, you're burning 3-4% more to move a given amount down the road.
Yeah, so one of the things that we would urge you to to do today is to go check the tire pressure in your car. And unfortunately, at most gas stations, John, you've got to pay 50 cents.
That's right.
To be able to do that. And most people do not have a little tire gauge in their car. I mean, right. It's just a neglected thing. Well, in the studio, a Clemson Tiger, Eugene Kuhn, works for one of our sponsors, Polaris Gym Car. Welcome to this segment, Eugene.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we'll let you have that seat, even though you're a Clemson Tiger. And folks here in
he
Athens.
He just keeps poking the bear, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll see y'all in the national championship. Y'all just got to beat Bama.
Oh,
just beat just Bama for us and we're good. Bama. Just beat Bama and we're good.
Easy to say. So, and Mary Britton. Mary, you didn't have to worry about Bama, Tigers, Bulldogs at Little O Elon University.
No, the focus was not really on football.
What was the focus up there?
The Republican convention planks.
Yeah. What were y'all thinking about there at Elon? I mean, what's kind of the thing there?
Very academically focused.
Academically,
yes.
So it's really just a brain.
I'm not buying that.
It's a brain factory. John, I think back to my time here at the University of Georgia. I mean, I was very social. I mean, I was at the Baptist Center. I was president of the Baptist Center. I wasn't out drinking.
Oh.
I wasn't doing that.
What?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on.
No,
Baptist
no.
Center.
Yeah, no.
Social.
But I we were sending mission teams to churches throughout the state.
Okay, well, that's good.
I was
active.
I was in Bible study, the prayer group on Monday night. I mean, these are
you are a good wholesome guy.
I mean, no, these are good things. These things changed my life. I mean,
solid,
good
and transformational.
But you know what? I should have spent more time on my studies.
You should have had more debauchery.
I should have spent more time on my studies. Yeah. So, and we did have a ping pong table at the Baptist Center. So
that's
I did kind of get distracted a little bit with ping pong.
Beer pong, though.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is. Don't even want to know what that is.
Anyway, yes.
We're talking about electric vehicles, particularly low-speed electric vehicles. And these are vehicles that go less than 30 They can drive on roads with a less than 35 mile an hour speed limit, right, Eugene?
Well, they can drive on roads that is 35 mile an hour less, correct?
Yes. And can a gym car run 35? Will it go that fast?
Only 25. So to be an LSV, you're classified as 25 mile an hour. That's how fast you can go.
Okay. And so.
Can you soup it up?
No.
Can you break it somehow?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
So you've got seat belts, mirrors, right? You've got. Headlights.
Tail lights. We've got a roof crash test done on the vehicle. We've got DOT approved tires. All the seats face forward. So everything you need to be NHTSA certified.
You know, when I go down, our family goes down to Seagrove Beach. We've been going there for 25 years. We rent an old condo. Actually, I rent four condos because I have seven children, and the only way to get them to go on vacation with me is to rent a condo for them. So I basically save all year to be able to rent these condos. But down there in Florida, they let golf carts with tags riding on the road, and they don't go 25 miles an hour. They go slower. They're clogging up traffic, and they look dangerous. How is it that Florida's getting away with this?
So, Tim, the issue with that is that people take golf carts and they try to make them out to an LSV. So if you add, they think if you can add, I'm going to add seat belts, I'm going to add turn signals, I'm going to add headlights, then it's an LSV. So, but what needs to happen is, a true LSV has to come from the manufacturer with an LSV stamp on it. So if it doesn't come from the manufacturer with an LSV stamp on it, then it's not a true LSV.
Essentially, all those people are probably breaking the law.
That's
They're
correct.
Probably registering these things as an LSV when it's not really an LSV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, John, just more problems. Just more lawbreakers.
This seems too much government overregulation. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mary, as you think about, you guys are working with auto manufacturers, right? You put some solar down in Hinesville and Statesboro at, a Ford dealership?
Yes, that's correct. J.C. Lewis, who's the 12th oldest Ford dealership in Georgia. We partner with Choke Construction to build them. They were commissioned this year, December of this year. There's always that cross nexus opportunity for more and what's next for them and what they want to do.
John, there is this nexus, I think, between folks that have solar, folks that drive an electric vehicle, folks that recycle, a lot of the green things that we that we talk about. I mean, for me, really, it's environmental stewardship. I mean, I'm not really into some of the things that you're into. I just
worm farming.
I like
you're
worm
not
farming.
Into global warming or global warming.
No, none of that. Yeah, but I do want people to take care of what we have out here. And I mean, my family has property that's on a river. That river's nasty. I wouldn't eat out of fish out of it if you put a, you know, gun to my head. Well, probably would with that, but it's nasty water. You know, my dad used to swim in it when he was a boy. You wouldn't dare get in
it now. It's absolutely outrageous.
So, you know, a lot of the things that folks enjoy doing, you know, going camping, going hiking, you know, swimming, you know, enjoying God's creation, we can't do because
people are polluting and destroying God's creation.
We've essentially been poor stewards. And I think as we think about, you know, as we think about areas where folks are, you know, congested, college campuses, Eugene, as we think about cities, you know, using electric vehicles, I mean, it seems to make sense, especially with low speed things. I mean, those golf carts that I see running on gas, they don't have catalytic converters. I mean, they don't have pollution controls.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
They're loud and obnoxious. Yeah,
and where your gym...
And they go faster than 25 mile an hour.
Yeah. Ooh. So, you know, where your gym cars, you know, of course, they're idling and you don't even know it because, you know, they're completely quiet. They're fully electric. So, John, you drive an electric car and you've been doing this, you know, for some time. And Mary, you work, you know, closely with the Georgia Solar Association and the community here. And I think we are seeing the magic that can happen between folks that, you know, that are putting solar on their house or their business or buying some community solar from Georgia Power or one of the EMCs and then considering an electric vehicle. How this can, you know, save me money. For example, the time of use rate that we have for electric vehicles. You can switch your house to a time of use rate and you pay only a penny and a half for electricity from 11 to 7. John, you're on that rate?
Yeah, I'm on it, and I load shift everything. I mean, I get, you know, I go to bed at 11 o'clock so I can start the dryer at 11 o'clock, those sort of things.
Yeah, so load shifting is just moving your stuff to 11 o'clock. Now, if you're not on that rate, you know, it's not going to save you any money to do the shift. I mean, yeah, you'll be helping our grid. You do help our grid by shifting, but if you actually want to save money, you call the power company and say, tell me about this time of use rate. And Walton EMC, Jackson EMC, Georgia Power, and wherever you're listening, your utility probably has something like that. So it's a great thing. Well, I'm going to keep our guest over one more segment as we continue to talk about this nexus between EVs and solar. I'm Tim Eccles. I'm at Tim Eccles on Twitter. Mary, you're at Velo Solar Energy on Twitter.
Got it.
Yeah. And John?
New energy guy.
And Eugene?
Polaris_Jim.
Polaris_Jim. So we hope that you will check out our Matters Radio, Energy Matters, Matters Radio
Listen
handle.
Listen to the old
Yeah, that's on broadcast. That's on Twitter. I'm Tim Eccles, and you're listening to Energy Matters.
You've heard about Jim Cars on Energy Matters. Made by Polaris in Anaheim, California, these street-legal, small electric vehicles go where golf carts are not allowed. Equipped with seatbelts, headlights, optional doors, and a tag, Jim Cars and Trucks are perfect for shuttles, corporate, or college campus use. In fact, Georgia Tech has over 100 of them. The new generation Jims have many options when selecting the battery type, onboard chargers, and enclosures to suit the climate. Go to GemCarService.com to find out more. That's GEMCarService.com.
Hey, it's Commissioner Tim Eccles, host of Energy Matters. I want to tell you about Kevin Rowe and Rowe Insulating Company. If you need insulation anywhere within 60 miles of Athens, Georgia, you need to call 706-795-2854. It's important, isn't it, John?
It is the most important thing you can do in your house.
It's the low-hanging fruit of everything that we talk about on Energy Matters every single week.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, call 706-795-2854. That's 706-795-2854. Rowe Insulating Company.
Get comfortable.
Hey, welcome back to Energy Matters for our final segment today. I'm Tim Eccles, the host of Energy Matters. I'm one of your Georgia Public Service Commissioners. My co-host, John Noel, a former state representative from Atlanta. John, we've got some great guests in the studio. We've been talking with Eugene Kuhn. And he's a great guy, other than the fact that he's a Clemson Tiger.
Go Tigers.
Yeah. Just and he worked with Polaris Gem Car, and that makes up for it because they're one of our sponsors. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that.
Mm.
And Mary Britton, who's Director of Operations for another one of our sponsors, Velo Solar. Mary, welcome back.
So good to be here.
Yeah, and from Elon University. So we've learned all about Elon on this segment.
Mm.
Of course, you know, you're in... we record from Athens, Georgia, so this is, of course, all things Bulldogs here. I'm a triple dog myself, so, you know, it probably would have helped if I'd got out a little bit more, maybe gone to maybe tech and gotten some kind of engineering degree, maybe a master's or something. That would have been helpful.
Would have suited your nerdy personality better.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you do with an English degree, a nonprofit degree, and a PR degree? You run for office. It's a perfect political
no question.
Degree.
Go on the radio.
Yeah, go on the radio. That's right. Well, I've got some questions here that I have that maybe we can get answered. And the first one deals with gym cars. And it's where can I get a gym car? I'll go to Eugene on this. Eugene, where do you get a gym car?
You can get a gym car from Brunswick, Georgia. The dealership is called Gym Car Sales and Service, and you can get a demo from there also.
Wow. So Clayton Porter runs that dealership.
Correct.
Down there. And folks, here the advertisement of Polaris Gym on our station. So we're big fans of that. And just a hint to folks that are anticipating my 2022 campaign, John.
Oh, yeah.
They can expect to see gym cars in a neighborhood near them because we're going to be using gym cars and taking hundreds of young people around Georgia as we drop these gym cars in dense neighborhoods, particularly in Metro Atlanta.
That's a clever idea, campaign-wise. I think for the Democrats that will oppose you, I think I'm going to advocate for donkeys. Because it's a more environmentally friendly solution.
Yeah, what about the methane?
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it.
Yeah, well, you need to think about
that.
Let's go with gym cars. So I think they're good. All right, so Brunswick, Georgia is the home of where you need to get your gym car. Here's a question, Mary. Maybe you can answer this. I have a home with a new roof. Is this a good time for me to get solar?
Yes, absolutely.
Duh.
And actually, it's a mistake that a lot of... consumers make, companies make. We actually installed a 300 kW at a large company 2 years ago, and they decided 2 years later that they wanted to get it re-roofed, so we took it off and put it back on. Of course, we advised them prior to the installation that they needed a new roof, but they didn't want to make that investment at that time, and so they just ended up spending a lot more money in the process.
Wow.
So,
and
yeah.
Some of that roof could have been tax creditable.
Yeah. John, how does that work? I'm hearing that from some people that do you do it at the same time and then you bake it all in?
Yeah, and you know, tax law has been fuzzy and it's getting clearer and clearer, which is that you can effectively write off some of a new roof because in order to put solar on there, I got to put a new roof and therefore it becomes a tax creditable event.
And how much tax credit, investment tax credit, are we talking about?
Well, right now we're still at 30, and then we ratchet down at the end of the year to what, 28, 27, something like that. So there's a ratchet that's starting to occur. This is the year to do solar if you want the maximum incentive from the federal government.
Yeah, so
that's right.
Being able to bake
now,
that
of course,
in.
The state government, the Republicans, and the state government have absolutely axed all of the rebates. So the state credit, which I was a beneficiary of 6 years ago, expired.
You know, I have encouraged my colleagues over there in the legislature as much as I
That's
could
true.
with putting tax
I'm throwing
credits
your
back
party
and,
under the bus, not
yeah,
you.
Yeah, well, I'm on the bus, so yeah. I mean, you're,
well,
you
know,
you're
on the bus.
Yeah.
Try
so,
to drive it.
Okay. How about this, John, with the tax credit, speaking of tax credit, with the Tesla tax credit expiring, is it still worth it to get a Tesla, or so should someone get another model of car like the Nissan Leaf that would still have a credit available? It's a $7,500 one-time federal tax credit.
Yeah, which is now, at least in Tesla's case, ratcheted back to 35, and I think that has just ratcheted back now to, woof, now we're down to 1500 and change, 1750 maybe. I was a beneficiary of the $7,500 credit, but also bought a ridiculously expensive car. That same performance is now half the price. The Model 3 represents very similar, in fact, better distance and range than my car, the Model S, and it has a similar performance package, and it's half the price. So then you're like, well, how much value was that $7,500? Now, I got that a few years ago, but I still think it's vastly better to get a car that has no fuel, 320-mile range, 50K, all these great benefits. So what if the tax credit's only $1,500?
You know, John, one of the controversial things about Tesla is that they haven't used a dealer network. And
which I actually like.
Yeah, and so you actually sat in a car with a salesperson, right, a national salesperson, and y'all actually ordered your
right,
car on the screen?
The Marietta Service Center was the only one they had before they had any of them. Sat in the car. This is why Tesla's disrupting everything. The whole process of buying the car, this is a piece of paper in front of me. The piece of paper is the size of that screen. I logged into my Tesla account. I accepted the purchase on that screen. I didn't sign a piece of paper, and I drove away in the car, you know, an hour or two later after training. It disrupts everything. And, you know, we're all about technology and new technology. Well, hey, that's some pretty new technology.
You know, a few weeks ago, I guess on our show, we had the folks from Pivot, the Cox Enterprise, Cox Automotive program that's really kind of standing up this reconditioning for the sensors and the radar and other things that are on some of these higher tech cars. I mean, even Toyota's today on their advanced cruise control uses, the LiDAR. So you find yourself, you know, using that aspect of your car, and how important is it, you know, I think as a disruptive technology for these sensor recalibrations and things in the future?
Yeah, it's completely rehabilitated the way that I used to hate driving long road trips. Now to go to Brunswick to go buy a gym car, I get on an interstate that I'm paying attention, but I'm not driving, and it just makes it so much easier. And now the cost to do that has come down by half, and it will come down again, and it will come down again, and so we're in a new world.
Yeah. Let me ask you about, and I'll go to Mary or John on this. Do solar panels on your home impact the sale of your home? In other words, so people maybe they don't want it, or are you finding that folks do like it, or is it adding value? Are real estate agents, you know, on the listing, are they mentioning it? Where's solar at when it comes to the resale of a home?
It should add value, absolutely. But I think it just depends on who's buying your home and how well-educated they are about solar and renewables and what it does. I think also depending upon how old your solar system is would play into that and the cost.
So, you know, John, we've talked about home inspections on the show. We've talked about energy efficiency, HVAC systems, a lot of things that maybe real estate agents who are representing a seller, maybe they don't know that much about it. They don't know to, you know, to list that or pitch that. And it sounds like, Mary, that with solar, it would be really great if we could get these big realty companies, and even home builders, you know, more educated about right. how the technology works.
Yeah, I think that's true. But if we could have a magic box that reduced our utility bill by half, and I tried to sell you a house with that magic box or a house without that magic box, you'd want the house with the magic box. And what I have on my roof is a magic box that reduces my electricity bills by a minimum of half. And then I also have a magic box in the basement that is the battery that saves up more juice that reduces the power. So I think all of this has got to raise the value of my home. I don't know. I haven't actually done an assessment of it. But I know that when the tax man cometh, he wants a little more value for that house. So the tax man sees it.
Right.
We were talking at our recent integrated resource planning hearing about the number of manufactured homes in the state of Georgia,
yes.
and how much energy these homes use,
yep.
and how old they are, and you know, the fact that folks that are renting them, and the comment was made, you know, from the stand about how many slumlords is the word that they used, you know, have these renting these to folks, and I just have to wonder, you know, if this is contributing to a higher energy burden, you know, for really hundreds of thousands of people across
it
our state.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
I've traveled the state and talked to a lot of people that had trailer homes, and they're mobile homes, and it's a real problem.
Yeah. So, you know, folks get into a situation where they're looking for something cheap to rent. So, you know, maybe they are paying $300 to rent, you know, a 40-year-old trailer home.
But they're paying a $300 electric bill.
Paying a $300 electric bill.
It's just unbelievable.
As well. So, you know, it is hard to wave a magic wand and solve everyone's problem on this. And I know that we have programs that we've created to try to help with low-income energy efficiency. And it's just not enough that we can do. And so educating people, helping them understand about the programs that are out there. You know, I don't anticipate us putting solar on trailer homes, certainly. I mean, that's certainly not an option. And that kind of gets into this last question about community solar and how community solar worked. I know that we've got a program with Georgia Power, with Walton EMC, and more EMCs are building community solar arrays where you can purchase a block of green energy that appears as a line item on your bill. For example, with Georgia Power, it's $24.99, and then you're getting back whatever the benefit of that panel is. You're getting credit back on your bill. So those are the questions we wanted to answer in this segment. I want to thank Mary Britton for being here for the show. Mary, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And Mary Britton.
And Eugene Kuhn, I guess you can go on back to Clemson.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for all you're doing with Polaris Jim Carr. Great work that you guys are doing in our state. Wish you both well. John, another great show. Thanks.
Another great show.
Thanks for co-hosting. I'm Tim Eccles. You've been listening to Energy Matters, and energy does matter.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit, and the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Everyone has tough times in their life. By checking the Project Share box at the bottom of your utility bill, you can make life a little easier for your neighbors. Your $1, $2, or $5 checkoff is matched by the utility and then used by the Salvation Army to help folks having a tough time paying their energy bills. It's that easy. Join PSC Commissioner Tim Eccles and many others by donating via your power bills this year. See more by clicking ProjectShareInfo.com. And thank you.